Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
Listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Sunday night. This is the live recording of the Rebel Report. I appreciate you being here. Talking a little basketball tonight. Ole Miss falls to Auburn, and what I thought was like a hard-fought game. Like it's kind of cheesy, but whatever. Like a lot of effort on the floor on Saturday afternoon. Ole Miss comes up just short, even despite that result. A major, major, major opportunity presents itself for Ole Miss on Tuesday against a Kentucky team that has now lost 3 of 4. Kind of reeling a little bit are the Wildcats, and they come into Oxford, and Ole Miss, if they can secure a win on Tuesday, it would go a long way. So we'll talk about the Auburn game. We'll talk about Kentucky. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about in the chat, again, on this edition of the Rebel Report. I'm glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Like the video as well. If you're listening over on Super Talk, don't forget to subscribe and like the Super Talk YouTube channel. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, if you like what you hear, just search Rebel Report in your favorite podcast app and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. This edition and every edition of the show is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. If you have been personally injured, don't waste another second. After you hear this, when you close the podcast, put it on pause. You can pause it. Call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't waste another second. Call him today, and he can take care of you for personal injury. Also, if you're a small business owner, you need some legal advice, or you want to start a small business and you don't really know how to cross your T's and dot your I's from a legal perspective, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. So Ole Miss Auburn, the number one team in the country in Oxford on Saturday afternoon. And one thing that I loved, by the way, that I'm so glad is here. Because you guys know me, I talk all the time about how intoxicating, like, important basketball is. I've spent years on the radio show talking about, hey, I know you guys love baseball, and baseball's great here, but don't just skip over basketball. Because when you have good basketball, when you have important basketball, it's so much fun as a fan to consume. And then there was another layer to that this weekend. Ole Miss students camping out the night before a basketball game. I'm sure it may have happened before. I have not seen that. And again, I'm sure it's happened before. And I, when I was in school, that was the Marshall Henderson era, and never had to camp out before those games. And Ole Miss basketball, the excitement around it was insane, and never had to camp out for games. Always got in as long as you got there, you know, early. There's a couple of games where I had to get there like really early in the morning to make sure. Other than that, that was it. So seeing the buy-in from students camping out before a game, I thought was awesome. You know, it's not unique, right? They do that at Duke for basically every game. Auburn has built their basketball culture to the point where students are camping out of their games as well. And I love that. And I love that phenomenon has now brought itself here. Mississippi State actually had some students camping out before, I believe, their Kentucky game. A couple weeks ago. I loved to see that then. I love to see that now. Having student buy-in like this is awesome for basketball. Created a great environment. It looked outstanding. And so I was happy to see that despite the loss. The buy-in from students like that to have to camp out to ensure that they're getting the spots that they want is awesome. And I hope that they bring that same energy on Tuesday, because this game on Tuesday deserves just that. As far as the game itself, Real quickly, let's just do the box score thing since we did not do a post-game show. Auburn 92, Ole Miss 82. All five of Auburn's starters were in double figures, led by Janai Broome. And I'm sure you guys are going to want to talk about him to some degree. He's a very, very good player, though. He was 20-12 for Auburn. Also had four assists and six offensive rebounds for the Tigers. They shot 50% from three. They were 14 of 28 from three. And that is part of the story of the game. On the flip side for Ole Miss, Sean Padula led the Rebels in scoring. He was outstanding. And he was doing things, by the way, that because the conversation's been around that they don't have like that go-to bucket getter. If he continues to be aggressive and attack the basket the way he did in this game, he can be that guy. That skill set's there. Outstanding performance. 29 points, had a pair of assists and three steals, was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Those two misses were unfortunate, but made half of his threes, was 10 of 16 from the field. So he was 7 of 10 from inside the three-point line. So again, attacking the basket was really, really good there. Outstanding game from him. Really good day for Matt Morrell as well. Only took 6 shots, had 17 points on 6 shot attempts, made 4 of them, 2 of which were threes, but got to the free throw line 9 times, knocked down 7 of them, had 4 rebounds and a steal as well without any turnovers. Again, attacking the basket. Ole Miss did it again on Saturday. They're starting to attack the basket more. They're starting to get to the free throw line more. They took 25 free throws against Texas. They took 35 against Auburn. The problem is they missed 11 of them, and that is the other sticking point in the game. So Ole Miss was 6 of 19 from 3. Auburn was 14 of 28. So you made 6 threes to their 14, and you missed 11 free throws. And that is really – I know the rebounding margin is what it was, but to me, you know, the obvious is that is the difference in the game. Auburn made half of their threes. You missed 11 free throws. When that happens, it's very hard to beat a team that's as elite as Auburn is. Brakefield, for what it's worth, had 12 off the bench. They got 9 from Dia. They're still – I watch him, and I just still wish he would be more aggressive and attack the basket more. He's big. He's physical. He's got a good offensive game, but too often is he fading away from the basket instead of attacking it and trying to draw contact and assert his physical dominance. He did have 3 blocks in the game, though, but I think that offensively he can be even more physical and wish you would have gotten more out of him than that in this game. But I think what you saw overall is the difference between elite and good to very good. I think Ole Miss is good to very good. There's a chance that they're a very good basketball team. They've proven it, in my opinion, despite the loss. I know that's weird, and I know they lost to A&M at home as well. Completely blew that game. But the way they played against Alabama, and even despite giving up 92 points in a home loss to Auburn, I think that you see that Ole Miss is a team that is capable on the right day of beating anybody in the country. They are good enough to do that, but you saw the difference to me between elite, which is Auburn, and good to great, which is Ole Miss. And so if Auburn's going to be off, then they're beatable, of course. But if they're going to be on shooting like that, you have to play your A-plus game. And Ole Miss did not play their A-plus game. They played well, just, again, missing 11 free throws and getting the three-point shot discrepancy is just too much to overcome for this team. But they played extremely hard. And what's crazy is, by and large, I think they had a pretty okay defensive day. Now, at times they got lost in rotations. And you know, really, especially in the second half, either miscommunication or bad rotations. It's just Auburn is such a good team, and they have shooters basically 1 through 5, and their ball movement is outstanding that even a team that's as good defensively as Ole Miss is, it's very easy to get out of rotation and leave open shooters. But especially in the first half, so many of Auburn's three-point makes were contested shots. It was just – it was good defense, and Auburn is just an elite basketball team that made shots. There was one Janai Broome, like, step back, like, fadeaway three that he made right before halftime. Brakefield could not have defended it any better. He really couldn't have. It was outstanding defense. It's just an elite team with elite players made elite plays, and that was, I think, the difference. You know, there's no moral victories. They lost at home. You don't throw a parade. But I do think that you're learning that this team is good enough and capable enough to be competitive, especially if the guards, Padula and Morrell, continue to attack the way they did, getting after the basket and getting to the free throw line. They just got to freaking make them if they're going to win these games. But it's weird, I know, but I came away thinking that, you know, what I thought about this team and what they can be was confirmed to me. That was just it's an elite Auburn team that, I mean, they made half of their 3-point shots. What can you do? So, yeah, nothing to be too disappointed about. Although, you know, there's a couple of things, of course, like, you know, Dia's disappearance. I think you got to get so much more for Murray. I mean, he was kind of just doing cardio for most of the game. I know that's like a disrespectful term, but got to get more out of him. You know, he can't disappear like that. And only 9 turnovers for Ole Miss, right? Let me make sure that I'm getting that right. Yeah, 9 turnovers, but inopportune times. You know, they would cut it to one and have a bad offensive possession, and then Auburn would hit a 3. It's just hard-fought game. Auburn's elite. They can beat you in many ways. You're 5-4 at the halfway point in conference play. You would have taken that 100 times out of 100. They're in good shape. Their net is absolutely fine. Their wins are aging really well. That Texas win now is a quad one win. That one's getting, I mean, that win is going to age well. The Louisville win is aging well. The Alabama win is just going to continue to look outstanding. And the losses are just not bad at all. Ole Miss is undefeated out of the quad one at the moment. And I don't think that's going to change either. So the resume is in totally fine shape. I think the team, as long as they can keep Matt Morrell on the floor, I know he's battling injury, but man, he gutted it out on Saturday. They have opportunities ahead of them, and it starts with Kentucky on Tuesday. It's a Kentucky team that can shoot the basketball on the right night. They can fill it up from 3. They've got a bunch of guys that can make outside shots, but they're reeling a little bit. And to me, they kind of look like a slightly less rich man's version of Alabama. Still very talented. I think Pope is a good coach, but this is most definitely a winnable game for Ole Miss on Tuesday. If they play the way they did on Saturday, I think they're going to go and beat Kentucky on Tuesday. It's a major opportunity to get to that 6-win number with 2 road games at LSU, who got smoked by Texas on Saturday, and at South Carolina. What this win can do on Tuesday, if they can get it, would be massive. And I think, you know, they're right there. They're very close. They've already done it once with Alabama. I think they're about to go do it again on Tuesday. If they play with that kind of effort, I think they're going to go and win this game. It's a very, very, very good Auburn team that went into Oxford and won. I know that they're difficult to like, but that's kind of part of their allure in a way. Just an elite basketball team that played an elite game, and Ole Miss is just a little bit short of that, but I think that they are good to very good. So we will read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on exit 40 in Brookhaven, but you don't have to be in Brookhaven to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. Although for those of you in Southwest Mississippi, it's an easy drive. Even if you're from the Jackson area, it's an easy drive down to Toyota of Brookhaven, and I have purchased a vehicle from a different dealership in this area a long time ago, long before Toyota of Brookhaven partnered with me, and it was a complete lemon. They sold me a bad car. It was a bad experience. I felt like they got one over on me anyway. I felt like kind of gross when I left the dealership to begin with, and then as it turned out, they were certainly not honest about the checks that they did on the used car that I bought, and it fell apart. I mean, just a few weeks after I bought it, and it was a disaster of a car. That won't happen at Toyota of Brookhaven. So even if you're not in Brookhaven, I'm telling you, it's worth the drive, because I wish I would have made the drive when I bought my previous car because the experience was just dreadful. ToyotaBrookhaven.com is the website. You can look at all of their inventory there. If you want to shop online, $1,000 on me if you buy a new Toyota from Toyota of Brookhaven. $1,000 on me. Tell them I sent you. $1,000 on a new Toyota. Or if you use online the code Rebel Report, they have interest rates as low as 1.99%. for 48 months on all new in-stock Tundras, outstanding trucks. So Toyota Brookhaven, they have a service department that can take care of any vehicle, even if it's not a Toyota and you didn't buy it from them. So if you need your car serviced and you're in Southwest Mississippi, there's no better place to go than that. Check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven. Great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They deliver. So here we go. You can't deny how great Auburn's team is, but quite frankly, they're a bunch of whiny a-holes. Yeah, man. Jani Broome, he's one heck of a villain, though, right? I mean, he's the kind of guy that you love to have on your team. Slightly different, of course, but I mean, he's their Marshall Henderson. He's a pest, and he's so good. And he's whiny, and he yells at refs and gets away with it. I mean, he's kind of like college basketball's Draymond Green. Rippey said it best on Twitter, the leash that he has with officials and the way he's allowed to talk and act towards them is pretty wild when you think about it. I mean, he got in the face of an official or during the game and yelled at him and did not get teed up. That's insane. But he's a great player. And when he's making outside shots, which is not really something – he was – good percentage last year shooting from the outside, not so much this year. But, man, if he's going to step back and make outside shots as well, and he can put the ball on the floor and, I mean, affect the game in so many ways, and he's a really good passer, and, man, he is a pest. And, ooh, if you got to play against him, he's so easy to hate. But it's a great player. You went to the Senior Bowl. It was the most different sports event you've ever been to. Yeah, because it's not about a game. Right. It's and most of the game itself doesn't really. I mean, it's like the least important thing of the week. It's all about the meetings and stuff like that. And oh, look, they take things away from the game for sure. But the game is kind of like the consolation prize of the week. It's fun, though. I mean, I've heard from people that have been that have enjoyed it, especially if you're nearby. They do like, you know, events and stuff. I got all like the press release emails and stuff about all the stuff they're putting on, and it looked and sounded like fun. Jackson Dart was the clear best quarterback at the Senior Bowl throughout the week. And it's just going to be in the eye of the beholder. There are going to be some NFL teams that are going to look at that and just kind of, you know, shrug and think that, you know, this is a bad quarterback class, and there's going to be others that are going to be desperate for it, and he's going to blow them away in his interviews. And I mean, it sounds like he's going to be a first round guy, barring a material change. He impressed people this week. The guys that cover the Saints, Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett, for their independent site, NewOrleans.football, have every time I listen to anything they said when they were asked about player buzz, they mentioned that Jackson Dart was receiving some level of buzz. And with the Saints picking at 9, I don't know if they go quarterback, but with Kellen Moore, certainly doesn't sound like he's really sold on Derek Carr. So that, you know, that seems a little early. Maybe New Orleans could trade back and get some extra capital and get him in the teens. But it sounds like there's a real chance that Jackson's a first-round pick. Sounds like Walter had a really good week. Princely also had a really good week as well. I saw a mock draft that had Walter Nolan going to the Chiefs, and I think the NFL needs to not allow that to happen, because him next to Chris Jones would just piss me off. Because they would, I mean, what do you do at that point? They'll just go back to the Super Bowl again. But I mean, by and large, it sounded like Ole Miss had a really good All-Star week. I mean, Chris Paul and J.J. Pegues made waves at the Shrine game. It's a really, 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 I mean, elite Ole Miss defense. They led the country in sacks and TFLs, at least in the regular season, for a reason. So give me 1 second. Sorry, important message. And Auburn fans take after that too. Really smug fan base who thought they didn't have any struggle issues at all. Get real. They were under a lot of pressure. Other than the awful missed free throws, I thought we saw one of Ole Miss's better games, and definitely Padula's best, but also Auburn played one of their better games too. Absolutely, man. And that team, gosh, are they just so mentally strong. I mean, how many times did Ole Miss cut it? You know, arena's just losing its mind and almost cuts it to one, and there's a timeout, and Auburn, after the timeout, moves the ball around, gets an open three, and bang. I mean, it's just constantly they were able to weather the storm and just not be bothered and almost like enhanced by the road environment and made the necessary plays. and inopportune mistakes for Ole Miss at times too. You know, they had too many empty possessions on a day where they kind of had to be perfect the way that Auburn was shooting and the way they were playing, but too many just bad shots or something like that. Just a few too many mistakes for Ole Miss in the second half, but man, I was so impressed with Auburn because that place was nuts. And Ole Miss would work it back and get down one or get down, a couple. And Auburn just was not fazed by any of that. They are very impressive. Good to see you, Craig. Thanks for being a part of my Sunday reset, folding laundry and preparing for the week. I've got laundry in the dryer that I'm not going to fold tonight. I'm not going to do that. So you're a better man than me because it's just going to sit in there until tomorrow. I'm going to have to fluff it like twice before I actually fold it. You were there the night before, but ended up actually getting in line real early. That morning student section was electric, and it was the most aggressive yesterday that I've seen in years. Good. Good. And that's the next step, I think, for Ole Miss and the pavilion and what it needs to be. Like, the crowds are showing up, right? And look, you're not going to sell out every single game. Like, there were empty seats for Texas. I get it because it's three straight home games. And while Texas is good, Auburn and Kentucky are games that you want to see more than Texas. It's just how it is. And so people have to make choices. And I'd be willing to bet that people were like, okay, two midweek games in a row at home. Can't really do both. I'm going to go to Kentucky. So I have a feeling that Tuesday is going to have a better crowd than the Texas game did. The next thing is making it nasty. Not only making it nasty, but also proactive instead of reactive. So when Ole Miss goes on their little scoring droughts that they have, like 2-3 minute scoring droughts, you would love to see, you know, when Ole Miss is taking the ball up the floor after a few bad offensive possessions, kind of just like a standing O, like kind of just getting the juice back in the building on its own without a play having to happen. Baby steps, though. I mean, the place looked outstanding, and it sounded like it was engaged the entire time. But that's the next step, is turning it into proactive instead of reactive and nasty. But, yeah. I haven't seen anyone complain more than Broome. Great player, but he acts so soft, and he should have probably gotten a technical yesterday, him or Baker Mazzara. Yeah, Broome should have definitely gotten one. It's odd because you like Bruce Pearl a lot, but his team is not the most sportsmanlike. You know, it's interesting. I think that he allows that because playing with that edge is what allows them to play at their best. Take Marshall Henderson. I'm just going to keep bringing up Marshall Henderson three times tonight. But if Andy Kennedy tried to rein in, he tried sometimes to like rein in his antics. But if you want to try to stop him completely from doing stuff like that, you're taking his edge away. That was what made Marshall great, is in the SEC championship, he's doing the gator chomp with like 8 minutes left. It's like, what are you doing? But that's how he played, and he thrived on that. I think this Auburn team thrives on being, forgive my language, earmuffs, you got kids in the car, turn the volume down. They thrive on being the assholes. That's what this team is, and I think that he kind of lets them do that because that's their edge. Don't understand the complaining about the free throw discrepancy. Ole Miss was doing a lot more to force contact and get to the line. Yeah, absolutely they were. No, anybody – Auburn took 28 threes to Ole Miss's 19. They were more perimeter-oriented. Ole Miss made it a point to attack the basket more. I don't think the officiating was particularly good. In fact, I thought it was way too soft for many periods of the game. I mean, it's just bad everywhere. You're just going to get bad officials. I don't think they were biased, but, I mean, geez, I don't understand that. In fact, I kind of had the thought a few times that, you know, the home team doesn't get that call. That's interesting. So if there's Auburn people that are complaining about officials, they're just doing that, they're whining just to whine. That's all they're doing. Any more info on how the Rebs are doing in the Senior Bowl? So it's over. It is over. It sounds like, you know, it just kind of depends on who you read about the quarterback position. Some people are just fawning over every move that Jackson has made, and others are kind of just iffy on, you know, who he is as a prospect. But I do think that he helped himself this week for sure. Think he made money this week. It certainly sounds like Walter made himself some money this week. The fact that a guy on this is how stupid the NFL can be sometimes. This past week was more important for Jackson's draft stock than 3 years of starting at quarterback in the SEC. This is how it operates. So, Walter Nolan was an under-the-radar defensive tackle. He was an All-American. He was dominant on the most productive defensive line in America. He played in the SEC. He was a five-star recruit, and he was the best player on the most productive defensive line in college football, and he was under the radar going into the Senior Bowl. How does that happen? It makes no sense. It's so stupid, but he apparently made himself a lot of money this week as well. And Princely, I mean, like I said before, I think by and large, it sounds like everybody in these All-Star games, Ivy as well, performed well, like enhanced their stock this week. The defensive guys especially were prepared. You got to love that. That they were absolutely prepared, it seems, because they were physically in shape and all the drills and the one-on-ones and stuff. I mean, I didn't see one negative thing said about any of them, any of the defensive guys this week. Now, maybe I missed it. Maybe it was there. I don't remember seeing one, ooh, Walter Nolan struggled here, or Princely Umemielen didn't do this well. I just saw none of that. The only criticism I saw was the occasional stuff about Jackson. Defensively, I didn't see any of it. Dia made some plays on defense, blocking a few shots and grabbing some rebounds, but the refusal to attack the basket on offense is baffling, especially when you've got some guys in foul trouble too. That was another thing that Ole Miss could have done better, is you have some guys on Auburn in foul trouble. And there were a few trips down the floor where it's like, why are you fading away? Or you've got this guy attack the basket, force him, either A, he has to defend without fouling, or B, try to get him to. And they didn't do enough of that either. All right, now to Kentucky. That loss yesterday for them has to be devastating, right? They've been beatable all year, so soft on defense, and their mentality looks shaky. It has to be, right? So I had a friend text me and was like, that's not good that Kentucky lost. I was hoping they would have won going into this game. And I thought, I don't know. They're kind of falling apart at this point. And so they lose in a game that was kind of made to be a sideshow because Cal was there, and then they lose to them. And now they got to turn around and go to what should be a hostile environment on Tuesday night. That losing 3 of 4, I don't know. I think the going into this game, losing is better because they're kind of, at least you would think, they're kind of lacking in confidence. Sorry, ESPN's just now telling me that De'Aaron Fox got traded to the Spurs. I mean, okay. Don't really care, to be honest. I'm a big NBA guy, but I don't really care. Also, a question for the next home game after that. Is Mississippi State in trouble? Yes. They have some serious defensive issues, and they're on a slide. Schedule is scary, too. Might be on the bubble. Yes, they're in trouble. They are in trouble. What has been a trend is now becoming their identity. They are somehow a bad defensive back. They cannot defend outside shots. And Missouri made a couple of circus ones, too, like Auburn did in the game. But they don't defend the three-point line well against anybody. And I mean, Hubbard had a really good game in their loss to Alabama, but they're not really getting consistent scoring from anybody else right now. And even still, you know, teams are able to take Hubbard out of the game at times, and they don't have a true point guard because he has to do it. And yeah, there's some concern now about Mississippi State. Let me find their schedule. There's some real concern, or at least there should be, because they got just walloped on their home floor, and it shouldn't have gone down like that. Let's see. Especially now that they're 4-5 in the league, although their resume and their net and all that's still going to be fine. But, oh, God, I mean, this six-game stretch, holy crap. I don't have the schedules memorized. I should, but they're at Georgia on Saturday. So this is the week they get the bye week. So maybe they can reset there. But they're at Georgia, hosting Florida, at Ole Miss, hosting A&M, at Oklahoma, at Alabama. Whoa. There's a chance that they're an underdog in five of those. Ooh, goodness. What are my expectations for the Kentucky game? I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win because they're going to be able to defend like mad and turn them over. And this new, I say this new, but the way that they're, the guards in particular are attacking the basket is sustainable scoring. This is what they should have been doing all along offensively. I would like to see more of Brown Jones, though. I think that they should have played him more on Saturday. He was giving Jani Broome some fits. I am curious to know if that was a product of, you know, he doesn't give them much offensively, and as a result, they can't really play him a lot. But, man, I don't know. I think that they could stand to play him a little bit more. But this is a good matchup for Ole Miss. I think they're going to be able to defend what Kentucky wants to do well. And I don't think Kentucky is going to very much appreciate a team that's as tough and active defensively as Ole Miss is. And the switching, I don't think, is going to be as much of a problem against Kentucky as it was Auburn. Auburn could really exploit that. I don't know if Kentucky's as capable of exploiting that. Ole Miss will be better equipped physically defensively on Tuesday, I think. The thing that does concern you about Kentucky is they have responded pretty well after losses, but this one could be different. They took it to Tennessee's great defense. I think Ole Miss will score a lot. And don't forget, that was a night where Tennessee just, I mean, was abysmal shooting on their home floor. Missed, what was it, 35 three-point shots in the game? I think that was the number. They were like, what were they, 10 of 45 or 11 of 45? Something like that. Way too many Auburn fans yesterday. It was like a fourth of the arena. They travel really well. Wasn't big on the stripe out. Just go with the solid colors. The arena's not built for a stripe out. I'm with you. Saw Kevin at the game yesterday. Nice of him to come out and see his former school in action. Yeah, that was a big recruiting weekend in football. I mean, you guys know me. I'm going to be transparent. I'm not going to fake being interested in 2026 football recruiting. It's just, in the portal era, it's just too far away. They're doing a really good job, it seems, in being active in the 26 class, but Diaz play reminds me of Embiid. When Embiid doesn't want to play inside, he just avoids it and takes dumb shots. Hey, at least Malik Diaz plays, though. God. Joel Embiid, Zion Williamson. Handshake meme. Heard the crowd on the broadcast was surprisingly quiet. I don't know what they're doing audio and video-wise, but it looks really flat color-wise and sounds too quiet on TV. Camera too high. Yeah, the camera angle thing was a Ross Bjork specialty. They are going to fix that. But I don't know what the issue is with the audio, because that is true. It's almost like muffled or muted. It sounds like that they were calling the game from their homes, which they weren't. Much better in person than it sounded like on TV. Need more energetic younger fans. Hey, the student section is really pulling that off, though. Lid almost came off the arena when Auburn took a timeout and Broome should have gotten a tech. Man, if that corner three from Murray would have gone into, I don't remember the exact point in the game. I mean, I guess I could find it. I could try to find it here. Because there was a corner three that he missed that would have really just blown the roof off the place. Where can I find that? Or was it Barnes in the corner? No, it wasn't that one. Let's see. Was it this one when they were down four with 12 to go? Was that the corner three? I don't remember. But there was a corner three that he missed that would have absolutely just changed everything in that arena, I think. But anyway. Oh, well. Did not happen, obviously. Saw the recruits or family or whatever that was in the student section with how limited that section is already. I can't stand them constantly taking hundreds of seats away every big game. Yeah. Part of me wonders if they can, and I don't know where they put it, maybe that the small section on the, like, the upper deck behind the basket on, like, the entrance side, if they can put, like, temporary seating there or figure out some student overflow. That would be my next thing if I were them, to try to figure out how to fit more students in. Because, what is it, 2,000 is not a big enough number if there's going to be such a demand for it. There'll be a 7 seed if they keep on winning. If they keep winning, they could be even better than that. Embiid, Zion, and Kawhi getting the most money with the least amount of work. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So, we'll be back on Tuesday night after the game. I mean, we'll just do post-game show regardless of result. You say, I think Ole Miss wins Tuesday. I think they're going to win on Tuesday. I know it's weird because they lost, but a 1-2 week with the way they played, and now they're figuring things out offensively. Padula should be more comfortable. They're getting to the basket. They're getting contact. They're still – I know they gave up 92 points, but you guys know what I'm talking about. They're still a good enough defensive basketball team to really give fits to a team like Kentucky on their home floor. Either way, we will be live after the game on Tuesday, regardless of result. So that one, by the way, that's a 6 o'clock start, so not a late night for those of you that are coming up from the Jackson area or even further. So, yeah, 8:30-ish is when that game will end, and that's when we'll go live. So if they just stay aggressive, then they'll only improve. There will be nights when the threes fall and they won't lose. And yeah, you're exactly right. If you'd have told me that Auburn scored 92, then Ole Miss lost by – I would have said 30. I would have said 30. So, and the way that they're scoring to me is sustainable. They're still not making like an insane amount of outside shots. It wasn't one of those days where they were playing above their head. I think Ole Miss can play better than that. You're just not going to beat Auburn without your A game when they're shooting like that. And they didn't have it, but that's okay. See you guys on Tuesday. After I Tell You, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank. I'll be spending some time at Topgolf this weekend, I think. And right next to it is my Priority One Bank location. There's 15 others across the state of Mississippi. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Online banking platform's awesome. They also have local loan servicing and decision-making. So you don't need to get on the phone or talk to somebody on Zoom to get a loan or have your loan serviced. You guys have a good night. Appreciate you. Hope you had a great weekend aside from the loss. And we'll be back on Tuesday post-game, Ole Miss and Kentucky. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.